Here we are ashamed to say who we are and what we do. I don't know. Can I? Should I? What will they say? What will they think? Charlatans don't care. They're in it to get to the next buck and they're moving on. If more people who had integrity and authenticity and a true heart to help transform the lives of others would freaking stand up and stop playing, do you know we could change the world?
Hey there, this is Patrice Washington from patricewashington.com, where we chase purpose, not money. Welcome back to another episode of Redefining Wealth. To all my OG listeners and purpose chasers, thank you so much for coming back week after week. Your ratings, your reviews, the way that you share in social media are such a blessing, and you are why this podcast continues to grow exponentially. And I just want you to know that I appreciate you so much. If you're brand new here, welcome to the family. Here's what you just stepped into. We are a community that believes that wealth is so much more than money and material possessions. We believe in the original 12th century definition, which says it's about the condition of well-being. So each and every week, I teach from the six pillars of wealth. The interviews, the guests that I invite, they're all about the six pillars of wealth, which are the truth behind what it means to build sustainable wealth, not just financial wealth, but in every area of our lives. I want you to get caught up. So go to patricewashington.com/start here and grab the free audio training, which breaks it all down. You'll see a link to it in the show notes. And I also want you to know that this episode is brought to you by my brand new book, Redefine Wealth for Yourself, How to Stop Chasing Money and Finally Live Your Life's Purpose. I am so excited about all of the lessons that are in this book that are going to help you build wealth from the inside out. You can find out more at redefinewealthforyourself.com. All right, this week's Remind episode is courtesy of my good girlfriend, Kathy Heller, from the Don't Keep Your Day Job podcast. I have been on the podcast before. I've done trainings for Kathy's community, and this particular episode, she repurposed on her podcast, but it was originally a bonus for her community. And what I love about getting an opportunity to share something with you that was live is that many of you may know that I don't use a script. I don't necessarily have very strict talking points. I really believe in letting the spirit lead. And there were so many nuggets that fell just from my lips in this episode that were not things that I would normally say. I was hearing myself literally give examples that I had never used before. And I always know that that's because there's one person in the audience that really needs it. Like, it never fails that someone will DM me and say, oh my gosh, that was specifically for me. And when they share their story or their circumstances in that moment, it is literally perfectly aligned. And this was one of those moments where I was just saying things again that I had never said before. So I know it's going to be new to you. And I'm really excited to remind you of who I am and why I do what I do and what I really believe. And I think you're going to learn a lot in this episode. So check it out and make sure you tag me and you tag Kathy Heller.
Hi, how are you?
I'm well. How are you?
You look beautiful. I love your lipstick.
Thank you. I had to put on a little lipstick for your community, you know.
Yes, you did. Yes, you did.
Tuesday afternoon. I'm so excited to be here.
I'm so excited to be here. Anytime I'm around you, I'm just full heart. My friends, Patrice is someone I love very much. She's so easy to love because everything you do is with your heart. You're one of those people who, from like the second we met, you were just like, here's a gold star, Kat. And I just always felt like you saw me and I saw you, and I never felt like I had to be anything other than my most vulnerable self. And I just love that about you because you're kind of fancy and could be maybe intimidating, possibly, But you are so loving and generous that you just are never intimidating because you're super real.
Oh, I love you, Kathy. You know, I feel the same way about you. I didn't know I was kind of fancy. Thank you. That's nice.
Oh, yeah. You're real fancy.
That is nice. But it's always an honor to be in your presence. And when the team was reminding me that today was the day we were going to do the training, they're like, did you want to do, like, I'm like, no, it's Kathy. Aww. I am so good with Kathy. And I know that it's going to be amazing because we attract the same type of folks, the same yeah. type of heart-centered, yes. purpose-driven people that I'm like, I'm with my people. So
you are so with your people. Give her some love in the chat. Let her know you are totally with your people. Yes. And we had been talking about the fact that you have a new book. And so I wanted to have you back anyway. And this is just like perfect timing because it's not just that she happened to write a book. She wrote a book on purpose. She wrote a book on helping you find wealth without the cost of letting go of what makes you feel most alive, most powerful, the feelings of not having to give up, not being mutually exclusive, whether you get the shiny things or you get to feel like you're living in integrity. Like that's her whole thing. So it is so good. And we're going to talk about that. I feel like maybe people know you because you are very much out in the world. And maybe they heard you on the podcast. But just in case, I think we should do a little refresher of where you've been and where you came from so that they have some context. So I'm sure you've told this story so many times. Tell us, remind us a little bit about where Patrice Washington was when she was like 8 years old and how she got to be sitting where she is.
Oh, wow. 8 years old. 8 years old, I was in South Central Los Angeles, immigrant parents, first generation American. My parents came here from Central America. And I think that they believe the same thing that many of our parents in the generations before us believe, which is go to school, get good grades, work hard, you should be fine. Did anyone else sign up for that to be the recipe to life success? Go to school, get good grades, work hard, you'll be fine. And I did that. I worked hard. I grew up in not the best neighborhood, an area called Leimert Park in South Central Los Angeles, where I grew up seeing a lot of gang violence and drive-by shootings and people in my own family going to jail. And all I knew was I wanted to get to college, Kathy, and get the heck out of there. Didn't go too far, but I did end up at the University of Southern California. Go Trojans. Dean's List student and started what would become a seven-figure business actually started during my senior year in college. It was supposed to be a project that I actually launched. I was licensed at 19 in real estate and became a real estate and mortgage broker at 21 during senior year. And I thought this will go on forever, right? I didn't understand that life was cyclical and that seasons were a real thing. I thought, oh my gosh, I've hit the jackpot. I went to school. I got good grades. They said, work hard. Here I am. I've done it. Until someone type until in the chat for me. Until.
Dun, dun, dun.
Dun, dun, dun. Thank you, Katie, Darcy, Allison. Until the recession hit. And the recession started really in 2007. We talk about it as 2008, 2009. But in 2007, if you were in real estate, you started to feel it. And when it started to rear its ugly head, you guys, I was actually in the hospital on bed rest because I took a fall down the stairs at 20 weeks pregnant and it sent me into premature labor. And when I got to Cedars-Sinai in Beverly Hills, they said, ma'am, I'm sorry, this baby's coming any minute now. And I did the only thing that I knew to do in that moment, which was pray. And I started to call other people and ask them to pray. And what was supposed to be any minute now actually turned into me being admitted to the hospital. And I was actually in the hospital for 10 weeks. So 10 weeks at Cedars-Sinai on hospital bed rest. And around 5 weeks into that stay, I remember watching the news every day and the banks were closing down one by one. One by one. And at the time we had built up to 16 loan officers and real estate agents. And they were calling me every day. What am I going to do? My deal's falling apart. They're threatening to take my client's deposit. We can't close. The bank is gone. Like we're supposed to close tomorrow. It was literally everything that you could imagine was happening at that time. And here I am on bed rest. I can't even get up and I'm freaking out. And I wore this monitor around my waist that monitored the baby. And I remember about 5 weeks in, my doctor, Dr. Lee, came in and she said, Patrice, I don't know what you're stressing about, but if you don't stop, you're going to leave here 2 years in a row with no baby. Because the year before I had a son, same hospital, same doctor, same floor. He was born prematurely and he passed after 5 hours in my arms. And I had to make a decision to surrender, right? And sometimes when we think of surrendering, we think that it's giving up, but it's no, it's letting go of what we believe we have control over. And I decided to surrender. And I actually asked them to come in, the maintenance people, to come in and take the TV off the wall because I didn't even want to turn the news on anymore. I didn't want to keep allowing myself to take in all this negative energy about things that I, quite frankly, had no control over. And so my daughter ended up being born 5 weeks after that. She was born at 30 weeks and some days. She was 3 pounds, 2 ounces. And you guys, she's 13 years old and she is the light of my life today. She's amazing. She keeps me on my toes. She mostly keeps me aware of what's going on TikTok, but she's a good girl and she's here. I left that hospital with this four, by the time she left the NICU 3.5 weeks after her birth, I left with this beautiful, healthy baby. And also I would find out that I was leaving with a healthy amount of medical debt. So no deals closed, but almost $400,000 racked up in medical expenses because my insurance had dropped me. And this was one of those seasons where that was the beginning of the downward shift, where all of a sudden it didn't matter that I went to school, got good grades, and worked hard. None of those things mattered in this season where I felt like, you ever been in a place where you're just sick and tired of being sick and tired? Where you feel like everything that you touch turns to wood. You know, we want to have the Midas touch and it turns to gold. No, it turns to wood. It falls flat. It's awful. Well, I ended up shortly thereafter, like 2008, we ended up losing pretty much everything. We had to lay off the team. About a year later, we ended up laying off the team. My home foreclosed in Southern California. I went from a 6,000 square foot home to literally selling everything that we could on Craigslist in a weekend and driving cross country to Metairie, Louisiana, where we ended up in this 600 square foot box of an apartment. And it was so bad, you guys, that I didn't even tell anyone. People thought we just politely moved. They were like, oh, they moved to Louisiana. No, we fled because we couldn't face all of the things that had happened. And so there we were with this little baby, just my husband and I, and we made a choice to suffer in silence. We didn't tell anyone what was going on. And that's where I had, Kathy, what I call my come to Jesus moment. I had the moment where I had used all the clever little mantras and cliches and all the things, you know, to try to keep my husband's spirits up as well and just try to like be the positive one. And I remember one day my husband went out, he took Reagan with him, and I was in the bathroom and I just lost it. I was looking in the mirror and I thought it was just going to be a little, you ever have a conversation with God or whoever you consider to be your higher source? So you're just like, listen. Now, I did what they said, okay? Like, I'm trying to understand where everything went wrong. I've been a good person. I treat people well. I operate in integrity. These things are not lining up. This is not making sense. I'm not supposed to be here. I'm the one that made it. I'm the person in my family that was the smart one. I'm the one that did all the things and followed the steps that they said to take. Why am I here? And it started out just kind of talking in the mirror. It led to kind of yelling. Yeah, it led to a little bawling, crying. Anybody ever snot and just have a good ugly cry? Ooh, nothing like an ugly cry. This was an ugly cry. Yes, Raina. Yes, Allison, Asia. An ugly cry. I ugly cried until I was balled up in fetal position on the bathroom floor. And I knew that I had brought myself as far as I could take myself. And I needed some intervention, because I had nothing left in the toolbox. I did everything that I knew to do. And I heard what I call a still small voice say, get your Bible. And I ended up on this scripture, Proverbs 17:16. And it said, what good is money in the hands of a fool if they have no desire to seek wisdom? What good is money in the hands of a fool if they have no desire to seek wisdom. And that was the very first time it dawned on me that while I had been the smart girl and I had been the great test taker and I was great at consuming information and education and knowledge, I used wisdom and knowledge interchangeably. They're not the same. Knowledge was gathering the information, but wisdom was knowing when and how to apply it. And had I actually been seeking wisdom, I probably could have gotten support, but I didn't ever say anything to anyone until my back was all the way up against the wall and I just couldn't take anymore. And I think that's what a lot of us do, is suffer in silence. I'm even glad to be here with you, Kathy, in this community, because I know that a lot of you, you came here because you're tired of being the Lone Ranger. You were tired of trying to do things by yourself. You were tired of trying to figure it all out and suffering in silence, because you know that you were meant for more, that you were made for more. And yet being by yourself just wasn't giving you the opportunity to truly move past, right? Whatever limiting beliefs, whatever past stories, whatever failures. And that's where I was. And that, and finding that scripture changed everything for me, Kathy. Like literally the next day I started a free blog spot. My first grade teacher, Ms. Boynton, told me, when you learn something, you have a responsibility to teach your friends. And she used to allow me to go around the classroom and help people. I was a gifted kid, so I would finish everything early. And to help channel all my talking, they would allow me to go help people around the classroom. But it stayed with me. And to this day, you know, when I learn something, I do feel a heavy responsibility to teach it. And so even though I had lost all my money and I was in one of the worst places of my life, honestly, in that time, I mean, applying for food stamps, getting on welfare, chasing the power man, begging him to turn the power back on or my baby's milk would spoil, coming home to eviction notices. Like, this was one of the worst times, driving a car with no insurance. One of the worst times of my life. But I knew that even though I lost all my money, my mind wasn't bad, and that I still had something to offer other people. There was still something that I was supposed to use to be a blessing, even in a place where I needed someone, right, to come bless me. But I started that free blog spot. That was like March 10th, 2009. And so from then till now, these last 12 years, my sole purpose every day is to give God something to bless. Like, how can I use what I've experienced to be a blessing to other people? And that went from a free blog spot to me writing for other websites, to me writing for magazines, to me doing 4 years on the Steve Harvey Morning Show as the personal finance contributor there, to being a regular on Dr. Oz and all these other networks and shows. Now 5 books in, that's the latest one, Redefine Wealth for Yourself. And it's all come from this place of wanting to help people understand that this journey is not just about chasing money, it's about seeking wisdom. So that's Patrice Washington. That's who I am. And that's why I do what I do.
Oh my goodness. What a gift it is to sit with you and to just be blown away by your grace. I welled up many times and I know the story, but I'm really always struck by how powerful you are. You know, you and I both know a lot of like smart cookies, but there's a powerful part of you when you speak, everybody listens. There's a vulnerability to the way you speak, and I'm just muting everyone. There's a vulnerability, and really what you said about the difference between knowledge and wisdom, that is one of the most profound things I've ever heard. And it's so you, like it's everything that you are. And there's so much gratitude in you. Like everything you do is, like you said, to give God something to bless. Like what a goal for the day, right? It's amazing. So now I think we can talk about your book, because your book actually contains so much of what's on your heart these days. You wanted to write this book. What did you want women? I mean, men and women could read it, but a lot of us here are women. What did you want us to walk away with this book?
I wanted people to walk away and understand that this mantra that I hold so dearly, so chase purpose, not money. It's here on my little crop sweatshirt here. It's not just a mantra. It's just not this cute thing that I say on the podcast. It's a lifestyle. Like it is the way that we literally move throughout life, and this understanding that we have the right to redefine wealth for ourselves. And there's a way that you go about that. There are practical tools, behaviors, mindsets, like different things that you can do to make this a reality for yourself, right? Because I think that people see slogans or they hear things and they're like, oh, that's cute. That sounds good. And it's like, well, no, that's not just cute. This is like how we make decisions. This is how we're able to navigate this culture that wants you to believe the opposite, that wants you to believe that wealth is just money and material possessions. And so what you're supposed to do from sun up to sun down is chase whatever is going to make you more money. And I believe that actually when we pursue purpose relentlessly, when we give ourselves the space to truly do what is authentically in alignment with ourselves, yes, do I work hard? I don't know if I would call it hard, but I do work. I put work in, but I also realize that there's so many opportunities that are just attracted to me that had nothing to do with my relentless pursuit and struggle and strife and stress. That's not actually necessary. And you know, what I believe is in the six pillars of wealth. So in the book, for years on the podcast, for 3.5 years now, I've been talking about these six pillars, but I was really afraid that people didn't have a tangible way to actually understand what that means. So when I say the fit pillar, and I talk about becoming your best self, not just mentally, but physically, I talk about that not as a fitness expert, but as a wealth expert, like as someone who's been seen as a finance expert who has coached and counseled so many people and understands that a lot of people don't necessarily have a money problem. They have an issue with limiting beliefs. And that's a mindset problem. And that's up here. So we need to be mentally fit as we're pursuing these things, because you, again, you can have all the education, you can have the certification, you can have the degrees, you can listen to all the podcasts, sign up for all the programs. And if you don't believe that you are worthy, you're not going to do what you already know to do. If there's a story going on in your head about what so-and-so said to you in 1997, when someone said to you, you'll never amount to anything, or you're not going to be who, like whatever you said you wanted to be, or any number of things, or if you were in a relationship that made you feel less than, or, you know, you've been around toxic people, any number of things, right? That's going to be the reason that you don't build wealth the way that you want to. It's not that you don't have the education. And we say in our community that, you know, your business is only going to grow to the extent you're willing to heal. That's a fit pillar thing. So what are the childhood traumas? What are the different things you've experienced in your life that you need to heal as you're on this journey of building this business? Because Kathy, you and I can say say things until we're blue in the face, right? And people will go, but I don't understand, but I don't see it, but I'm special, but I'm different, but you don't know what I've been through. It's like, well, none of us are really special. It is what it is. These are the steps. This is the process. But whatever you have going on that makes you feel like you can't walk that thing out, that's not a business problem. That's something you probably should go to therapy about. Like, that's something that is going to require some other help. And Kathy, I think I told you this story before, but you know, I grew up feeling really ugly. Like I was the ugly duckling, right? And I was too black. My lips were too full. My cheeks were too big. My eyes were too wide, like everything. But I was starting to get picked apart for my looks from the time I was like 5 years old. That's my earliest memory. And I remember being in the bathroom, literally scrubbing my skin because I thought I was dirty. I wanted to be lighter. I thought I was dirty and something was wrong with me. And so I became addicted to achievement, because I never felt like the pretty one. So in my group of friends, all while growing up, and this is all while growing up, all through school, I always felt like, well, people will only like me if I earn their affection, their love, because I'm smart, because I know how to make money, because I can help you pass the test, like all those things. So I became addicted to achievement. I was 25 after 3 years of therapy before I could look in the mirror without cringing. 3 years of therapy it took for me to learn that hurt people, and that people who said some of the nastiest things to me, not at school, I'm talking about in my house, I'm talking about the people who were supposed to love and protect me are some of the people who said the nastiest and worst things to me. And it was in therapy that I learned to forgive them. It was in therapy that I had to learn to let go of whatever they said, right? It was in therapy that I learned to have compassion for them, because how hurt do you have to be to speak like this to a child that you're supposed to be stewarding, right? Like taking care of. It was in therapy. And I say that to say that when I look at my life now and all the work that I had to go through to build my confidence, when you say, man, every time you show up vulnerable with, you know, with powerful, all those beautiful things you said, that wasn't me 20 years ago, because I had a wall up. I had this wall up and I only knew how to protect myself and to earn love through doing, not through just being, right? And I say that to say, because when I look at my life today and when I look at the work that I do, when I look at my face on all these books, when I look at all the national media and the stages that I've been on, there's no way that I could walk in this calling had I not gone and dealt with my childhood trauma. There's no way that I could show up in social media. I used to be so afraid to look in the mirror, but also to have people stare at me. And now we live in a culture where, you know, you're building a brand. Folks got to see you. You know, I'm still resisting reels. I'm trying to get better with it, you know, on Instagram, right? But there's all these things that require you to show up and be authentic and be vulnerable. Had I not done that work, it doesn't matter what program I took, right? It wouldn't matter what program I took, what book I read, what podcast I listened to. I could hear it, but I couldn't receive it if I didn't do what I needed to do to heal that childhood trauma. And it's the only way that I can be who I am today. And so in the book, I just go through all of these literally step by step by step, everything that I can remember from this journey over the last 12 years that have helped me show up and be more bold, more confident, and more purposeful in everything that I do. And the byproduct has been money. The byproduct has been that I've been fully restored and I'm actually in a better position now than I was at that time. But I'm also fulfilled. And that's the thing. It's not just the money, it's the fulfillment. I think the number one reason people mismanage their finances is because they lack fulfillment. So it's a constant pursuit of trying to fill the void, trying to fill this gap of what you think is missing with stuff. We either buy stuff or we buy people. Either we buy things or we buy people. We'll buy things that we think are going to help us feel better. And in the moment, the utility might be slight, but we get some type of little high from it. But then what was new yesterday is old today. That's done. But what never goes out of style is fulfillment, right? It's like knowing that, oh my gosh, I am doing something that actually impacts other people in a positive way. I am fulfilled when I read the testimonials of my clients, when I see people's feedback about the book, when I get off of something and someone tags me and they're like, oh my gosh, you said this thing. That fulfills me. I don't need to shop online. I don't really care about stuff. Now I have more than enough money to buy things and I don't even care about things. I care about people. But I remember at a point in my life when I used to try to buy people. So I would always pay for lunch and I would always pay for drinks. And I would be, oh, just giving gifts to give gifts. And, oh, don't worry about paying me back. I got it. And I would sabotage any like success, you know, I could have or opportunities I could have because I was so consumed with buying people. But that was a lack of fulfillment. I made a lot of money. I wasn't fulfilled.
Oh, my gosh. Everyone is just blowing up in the chat because it is every single word is something that you could write down and keep as a post-it and listen to and have it wash over you every single day. Such wisdom. I wanted to touch on a few things. First of all, what you just said about healing that brokenness inside and how much that is a imperative to being able to bring wealth into your life. You wouldn't think that that would be a pillar in a book about finance, and it absolutely is. And I think I told you this story, and my students know this story. I think my audience on the podcast knows too, that I went to onsite for a week outside of Nashville a year and a half ago and spent a week in therapy there. And they had me sort of reenact my childhood. And at one point, the therapist said to me, okay, go over to the girl who's playing you and just say to her, you don't have to live there anymore. And I did and broke down in tears. And she said, no, give her a hug, this girl who was playing me. And she said, tell her I'm coming to get you.
Mm.
And I came back from that. And the next year, we quadrupled the business, quadrupled it. And I looked back and thought, wow, that had more of an effect on my business than I would have ever thought. But how much are we doing what you just said, where we are trying to earn it, where we are not in flow because we are in pain and we are trying to prove ourselves? And what gets communicated then is all of that unworthiness. And I heard you say this once. I thought it would be cool for you to share this with them. We're going to air this on the podcast, but there's about 900, 800 and something people in this program who are amazing. Oh, and this is their last week of the program. And I remember you saying once, because Patrice has worked with so many people. And I remember you telling me once about a woman who, like, she would volunteer her guts out. She would be happy to, like, work for free, walk on her knees for thousands of miles. And you were like, it's time to get paid. And that transition, I know you've seen that be hard for some of your clients and for some of the people who you've touched. What do you say to that person who is in that place right now? They can do it. They can give it away. They can be generous, but to receive, to open their hands, all of a sudden, all this imposter syndrome comes up, not being able to let in.
Yeah.
That grace. What do you say to them?
Gosh, there's so many things that I want to say. First of all, I know that some of us have made a career out of volunteering. So right. As long as it's volunteering and I'm giving it away, oh, I could do it all day long, right? I did an episode called I'm Not Above Backing Out. And the point of that is, for me, was that people would be so committed to busying themselves or distracting themselves with all the things out there and not just focus on the very thing that they were just called to do. Like the very thing that you were called to do. What would life look like if you actually put that effort into what you were called to do? Because the truth of the matter is you do yourself and you do the marketplace a disservice when you don't honor your gifts. You do yourself a disservice. You do the marketplace a disservice, but you also dishonor God or whoever you believe to be your creator, whatever you call your higher source, right? Because imagine, are there any parents here? Any parents? Can I see a show of hands? Allison's a parent. I know there's some parents here. Okay. Smita, Shannon. Okay. Imagine Christmas Day, you have worked so hard, right? Leading up to Christmas to give your child, your children, ooh, Alicia said four kids, bless you, girl. imagine that you have worked to create such an experience, right? To bless your kids with these gifts. And we've all done it. We've given them a birthday gift, a holiday gift of some kind. And then that day or day later, they're like over it. They're not using the gift. They don't want to play with it. You've put all this effort. You save money. You put things on layaway. You've planned. You cut coupons. You did all the things, right? And now they don't want the gift. And they're busy off trying to play with Johnny's gift, looking at what Susie's gift is. They're everywhere, but actually working with the gift that you gave them. How disrespected do you feel? Do you not sit there and think to yourself, now, why did I even do that? Why did I put all this effort in? Why did I put all this time in? Why would I do all of this for someone who doesn't even want to use the gift that I gave them? That's what we do. We are born with gifts freely. They were a present to us at birth. It is our birthright to use them in the marketplace. I believe that each and every one of us is born with a gift, a talent, a skill, something that we were given freely to produce wealth. And yet we look to the left and we look to the right and we are so consumed with being worried about other people's gifts that we sit up here and give ours away for free and then wonder why we haven't gotten the things that we want to get, why we haven't gotten there. And many of us will look to the left or right and go, I'm smarter than her. I'm more talented than him. I'm better than that. Yeah, but you didn't want to embrace your gift. You wanted to give your gift away for free, right? Imagine that kid that you gave a gift to on Christmas or on their birthday, and you come back like, where's the gift? And they're like, well, I gave it to so-and-so down the street. But then they go, but now I want to play, Mom. Give me something else. No. You had your gift. You walked away from your gift. You gave your gift up. That's on you. Don't assume you should get another gift. You better go back to Johnny or Susie or wherever you left it and pick it up and bring it back home and work with what you got. And that's what I believe a lot of us do, Kathy. We just walk away. We dismiss it. We ignore it. We assume that it should be something else. It should be prettier. It should be more glamorous. It should be like so-and-so. I don't believe that people are trying to find their purpose. I believe they refuse to embrace it.
Mm.
So I don't believe that people are trying to find their purpose. I believe they refuse to simply embrace what's right in front of them because they want it to look like what Susie got. You're not Susie. You're Kathy. I'm not Rebecca. I'm Patrice. My gift is talking. That's all I'm going to do. I talk on TV. I talk on radio. I talk on a podcast. I'm here talking with you now. All I do is talk. And it is the thing that I got in trouble for the most as a child. And that's the problem. Many of us have the right gifts. We're using it in the wrong place. And when you use the gift in the wrong place, like giving it away for free, it makes you question whether it was a gift at all. Not because there's something wrong with it. It's because of how you've chosen to use it. You use it in the wrong place with the wrong people. And now you're going, well, this can't be the thing, but it's actually the thing. The thing that you probably got embarrassed by, the thing that you may have gotten in trouble for, that's probably the very thing that you should be using. I don't even remember the original question, friend.
Oh my God, you totally crushed it. That was so incredible. That line. It's not that people have to go find it. It's that they're just resisting what's already there. It's so obvious. We were on a call with some of our girlfriends, you and me, about a week or so ago. And I said at the end, I was like, would you guys just indulge me? I want to play you a song I listen to every morning. It's a song by the NDIRE. It's called I Am Light. And I said, I just want to play this for all of us right now. And maybe we can all write down like whatever it makes us think of. And the reason I do that every day, Patrice, is because at the end of that song, she says, I am divinity defined. Mm-hmm. I'm the God on the inside, right? I'm not my age. I'm not my mistakes. I'm not my skin. I am this vessel, right? Yeah. And so when I'm really connected, I think we've all had these moments. It's almost like the humblest thing you can do is serve and receive, right? It's like, that's where you're not in your ego. That's where you're not in your resistance. That's where you're not in your story. You're like, I get it. I'm just going to be a channel for this thing that just comes out. That's so easy. That's not even my gift, right? It's just something that's been passed here for me to just give away. And to let that light, like to just receive, it takes so much humility and grace to just say, okay, I'm going to let the goodness come in here, right? It's not going to be about me.
That's the thing, right? When we refuse to charge in the marketplace, we're making it about us.
Right.
Because it's the whole imposter syndrome story. Well, who am I to charge for this? Well, this is easy to me. So I need to you know, give it to people and all this stuff. But the truth is there's no transformation for most people without transaction. There's no transformation without transaction. So this is actually not about you. It's about making sure that the folks that you say you want to serve are invested and committed to their own transformation. They are invested in the result. People are not really invested when they pay $2. You trick off more than $2 at Starbucks. You throw $2 worth of change in little tip jars all day long and you don't even think about it, right? That's not going to create significant impact. I feel like I have to charge what I charge in the marketplace for people to take my gift seriously. Because if I don't take it seriously, they're not going to take it seriously. And when I'm speaking or when I'm doing something, I want people to lean in. It doesn't bother me that someone, it used to, but it doesn't bother me anymore that someone says, oh, I needed to shift things around to attend your course. Good, because now you're going to show up. Good, because now when I say that this homework that I give is mandatory, you're not going to blow it off, right? Because your attitude towards a process will determine your success with the process. So if you have the attitude that this was another $2 thing that you don't care about, then really I've made it about what's safe and comfortable for me. I haven't made it about who you can be on the other side of this transformation. I'm not committed to your story about who you are today. I'm committed about where I know you can be when you get to the end of this 12 weeks or 6 weeks or whatever the thing is, right? It's not about you. So when we make it about us and we live in those stories, not only do we do a disservice to ourselves, but we really don't have the heart of service that we think we do.
Yeah, no, it's absolutely true. And we live in a vibrational universe, right? And so everything you just said, what people are buying, and we've talked about this a lot in this program, is they're buying that resonance where you're holding, right? And so anytime you've spent money on luxury towels or a five-star hotel or a better jacket, it's the energetic of that. It's how that makes you feel. Of course, you can get a jacket that's going to cover your elbows anywhere, but that one makes you feel something different. And so it's almost like we have to really get, okay, how do you, Patrice, when you're talking to women and people all over the world, how do you help them click in to that higher vibration? Because that ultimately, when we resonate in that place, that gets communicated. That is powerful. And that's really what people are wanting. They're almost wanting you to charge more so that they get to have that lift, that they get to buy in and stretch to where they actually know that's the story they want to tell themselves about who they are.
Yeah. I think there's a number of things. I think that, you know, taking people through the pillars for me is typically what does it. Because as you know, as much as I'm known as a finance expert and, you know, I'm a business person, I rarely talk about money or business.
Yeah.
I literally talk about all the other parts of life that actually impact how we see, you know, money and business. And one of the pillars that I think really helps people a lot is what I call the people pillar. It's about just creating relationships that matter. And something that we say in our community is that there's always someone watching you who has the power to bless you, but who are they watching you be?
Ooh, that's so good.
And a part of that is even the people you say you want to serve, how are they watching you show up in the marketplace? Are you inconsistent? Right? Like, are you saying one thing, but actually showing or doing another? Are you talking about healing and all these things, but then you are showing up as the exact opposite? Because sometimes I don't even think that we're aware of that. And I think that once people realize that what we are communicating that we actually do, we need to not know intellectually, but we need to be it. We need to feel it. We need to walk it. We need to talk it. One of the things I always tell my clients is that whenever you're about to launch something, more than likely, you're challenged in that area. But that's a gift to you to test out whether what you're saying you believe, you actually believe, right? Because we don't get what we want. We get what we believe.
Yes. I want to ask you a question about people, because one of the things that I see is how much people say that they are not ready to start a business, that they're afraid to do this. They're really just scared as hell of rejection. They're just scared of being criticized and rejected. We are all, in many ways, people pleasers. Mm-hmm. And I've watched you specifically over the last year be willing to say, this is going to be uncomfortable for some of you, and this is how I feel. Mm-hmm. And you've always done that, but you've done it louder this year. Mm-hmm. For good reason.
Yeah.
And that is not a small thing. And I'm wondering what you then have to say when someone's afraid that some people are just going to walk out the door. some people are not going to buy from them anymore. Some people won't like it. How do you make the decision to claim your truth and show up knowing that, that's probably going to mean that six other people are not going to be in on it?
Yeah. Let them go. Let them walk. Because everybody is not your person. Like you know what that stems from? Because I hear this too all the time. Well, if I don't help them, who's going to help them? One of the hundreds or thousands of other people with the same call. Like, there's a reason that there's multiple ketchups on the ketchup aisle, and there's all types of bread choices, and there's all types of salad dressings. I'm not everybody's salad dressing. I'm not for everybody. And I've had to learn to be okay with that, because scarcity mentality will have you thinking that it's your responsibility to serve the world. I'm not Jesus. I'm not your creator. I'm not your savior. I'm not your Buddha. I'm not your anything, right? So I'm not here to save the world. I'm here to speak to the hearts of the few that I'm supposed to work with, those that I'm assigned to. So I have become okay with being polarizing. I don't mind being polarizing. Some of you are trying to like, no, I want to take all the people. I don't want to take all the people. I want to take the coachable people. I want to take like-hearted people. I want to take purpose-driven people. I want to take people with some type of spiritual foundation. Doesn't have to be Christianity, but you know what I'm saying? Like, but I don't want to take all the people. I don't like uncoachable people. I don't like people that don't follow directions. Like, I don't like people who are mean-spirited. I don't like people who are nasty. So if something I say, and I know, Kathy, that you're referring to like some of my social justice commentary, and being okay with even, you know, having multiple five-figure brand deals on the line. And I was like, well, I'm going to speak my truth, right? Because if you don't want all of me, you don't get to pick and choose the version of me that you like. There are so many layers to who all of us are. And one of the layers, one of the titles that I wear in this world is a Black woman. It is what it is. I didn't choose it coming in here, and I can't change it before I go, right? And if me saying something about Black lives bothers you, then I'm probably not your coach. And we can agree to disagree. We don't have to be mean-spirited about it, but I can't hide from you that I'm a Black woman. I can't hide from you that I have had experiences that have literally shifted my life. Right? That I can't just ignore and walk away from because they have colored my experience in this country. Those things are real. So if that bothers you, and when I do speak up, Kathy, I've lost hundreds, if not one time in like November, I lost 3,000 followers on Instagram. One day, one post. And I lost not one bit of sleep about it. Mm. Because of what I said bothered you or offended you, then you don't really care about me.
Yeah.
You want to use me for what I can speak into your life. But then when I speak about the realities of my life, you don't want to hear about it.
Yeah.
Then I'm not the person for you. And that's okay. No love lost. But let me tell you, the freedom that comes with that. I remember when I used to stay up at night over one troll's comment, and I used to monitor my numbers back in the day. I'd be like, 16 people unfollowed. Do they think I'm mean? I'm such a good person. And now if I say something and thousands of people leave, God bless you on the way out.
Yeah.
It's fine. And you don't have to announce it. I'm good. But you know what it does? It makes the people who are your people lean in even more.
Oh yeah.
People who are riding for you, they are your biggest advocates, right? And you can't talk about being authentic or transparent or having healed or having freedom and then live in bondage to what's going to happen if people don't like me. Those things don't go together. So yeah. I had to learn to step out and speak my truth more because it would be disingenuous to talk from this place of freedom and then being in bondage to people that I actually don't even know.
Right.
Right. And yeah, I probably lost about, I don't know, maybe $80,000 in brand work late 2020.
Oh my God.
21. But I mean, I also made probably another $300,000 or $400,000 in brand work that I would have
never
on their radar.
Yeah, you did. Yeah. You know?
So, yep. So, and it was with people who wanted Patrice for Patrice.
Yeah.
And yeah. I would much rather be in that space than trying to hide things to make someone feel okay.
One of the things I love about you and your work, and it's in this book, is what does a wealthy life really look like, right? How do you want your life to look? How do you want your, how do you want to make money? You want to make money in your purpose. What do you want your days to look like? And you either make a decision that you have integrity or you don't, right? And so wanting to be all things to all people means you're probably gonna have to lie to someone then at some point, right? Mm-hmm. That's not what you're signed up for. Mm-mm. You're just gonna be you. And like you said earlier on, you were always trying to earn it. And see, the thing about love is it's not earned.
No.
Can't be. So if people all of a sudden take away their love because there's a reason not to love you, then they loved you for the reasons they loved you. And they didn't love you, because love is something that's unconditional.
Yeah.
And we don't get that. And so we spend our lives learning that part of being who we are means we will lie to people and we will set ourselves on fire, even though, boy, do we really wish we could say something else. And what's so inspiring about you is you just don't do that.
It's a daily journey though, Kathy.
Yeah.
Because, you know, I just turned 40 in March.
Woo!
And, you know, I did this episode about things that I was leaving behind in my 30s. Mm-hmm. And one of those, I just realized, I thought I had very strong boundaries, right? Because I have very strong boundaries professionally,
yeah,
and with friends and stuff like that. And my mom went through a medical episode not yeah. too long ago. And I realized though, and she's recovering well, but I realized that my boundaries with her were not strong enough.
Right.
At 40, it just clicked. I'm like, who is this lady talking to? Like, your parents get older and they just start saying things. And I'm like, okay, well, I actually haven't lived in the same house with my mom since I was 17 years old.
Yeah.
So I'm 40 now. I go home to help take care of her, take her to appointments and do all this stuff. And we're in the same house for like 6 or 7 days. And I was like, oh, okay. Next time I come home, I've got to stay in a hotel.
Yeah.
Because my mom has no chill, right? Good Belizean Caribbean mother. She has no chill whatsoever. But it's like, it was a new layer, right? It's something that we're constantly becoming aware of. And that's why self-reflection and therapy and journaling and all these things are so important, because you keep seeing it.
I feel like I'm looking at the chat and looking at people and how they respond to you. And you see, this is what's so fascinating, is that I think one of the things that we all carry with us is this false choice of, I either get to be a nice person or a wealthy person. But every time you start talking about boundaries or charging, it ignites something in everyone. They go, yes, that all makes sense, right? And I don't know that is the right paradigm of either nice or wealthy. I think that it's not mutually exclusive. I actually think that sometimes, right, the kind, good thing to do is to hold someone to a higher standard or yeah. set a boundary. And I think that we've all been sold a bag of lies with that.
I think that one of the best things that we can do to help people in our lives, the people we love, is to stop helping them. Mm. Some of us can't focus on what we're called to do because we're so far into trying to save other people. We are so committed to like minding other people's business. And the thing is, remember I said, we are all born with a gift, a talent, a skill. We are all born. We are all born, including that grown child that you won't let be a man, right? Including, I saw someone cover their head. Yes, I'm coming for you. Including that grown child that you won't let be a man, right? Including your significant other, including your siblings, including, we have had to give people the dignity of their own process by removing ourselves as their savior. Again, I'm not your savior. And any notion, right? Any label, any hat that we put on that says, oh, I'm Captain Save-Em. Like, right? So every time you have a need or a thought or your lack of planning becomes now an emergency that you want me to tackle, right? Here I am. But how does that serve you? How does that serve what you're supposed to be doing? How does that serve the call on your life? How does that serve the people that you are assigned to? Do you know that there are people who are not sleeping at night because they're waiting for you to stand up and show up and take your rightful spot, but you're so far up the butts of everybody else in your family that you can't focus on serving the people you're called to serve? Everything has a season. And when it comes to people in our families and friends for a season, that might be well, however it goes, what we need for that season, but every season comes to an end, right? If we allow ourselves to let go. But most of us are holding on so tightly because it fills a void. And remember I said, lack of fulfillment is the issue. You being the savior fills a void. But I promise you that when you release your grip and you fill those voids with the purpose work you were called to do, you will experience a different level of fulfillment, a different level of peace, a different level of joy, right? And you will give other people the permission to go pursue what they're called to do without you in the way.
It's so good. It's so, so good. And it reminds me of this idea that like, we don't get what we say we want. We get what we expect. And so often we're looking at our partner, our spouse, our kids, and we forget what you just said. We forget that we were all given the same potential and the abilities to make some magic here.
Yeah.
And when you stand in the knowing of that and you look at people and you see them, right, you know what they need to know, which is they don't need you. They got it. And you get to be a stand for that. Mm. You get to be a stand for what's inside of them, leading them back home to their truth and to their own resourcefulness and all their gifts. And you just keep showing them that, right?
I just had a thought.
Bring it. I want to hear it.
When that happens, we tend to say it's tough love. Oh, it's tough love, right? And I believe that words are powerful. I believe that what we verbalize, we magnify and we magnetize. I think that we have to stop referring to those types of scenarios as tough love, right? And make it like real love. Real love is helping you stand in your greatness. Real love is helping you to see that you were born with purpose, on purpose, for purpose. Right? Like real love is showing you what's possible for you. Not tough love. Real love is changing the narrative and creating this script that says, I am so sorry that I've led you to believe that you could only make progress in this life if I were there to hold your hand.
That's it.
I am so sorry that I've interrupted you from possibly having a greater relationship and connection to your higher source, who is what you will need when I'm long gone. Like, I am so sorry, fill in the blank, that for X amount of years, I've allowed this to go on for you to believe this, but I want to show you true love, real love, authentic love. And that means showing you who I see when I look at you, like showing you what's possible when you take a stand, like when you do whatever these things are, implement whatever points you want to. But when we call it tough, we're making it tough for us and we're making it tough for them. It's not tough. It's real. It's real because, again, it doesn't serve them or you to be in the way. And for you, it is such a huge distraction. I can't tell you, Kathy, how many mothers, and I know you hear this too, well, when my kids grow up, then I'm going to do. So in the meantime, the people you're supposed to serve, what are they supposed to do? Wait for your child's 21st birthday? They're six. So what are they supposed to do here, right? It doesn't serve you. Real love for yourself is doing what you were authentically called to do. Real love, even for difficult family members, is releasing them in certain seasons and allowing them to figure it out, right? Allowing them to have some uncomfortable nights, because being uncomfortable is a part of the journey. No one builds greatness being comfortable every damn day. There are going to be parts of the journey that are uncomfortable. That's a part of what it is, right? Real love is putting yourself out there and knowing that even if you're not a perfect 10 and what you feel called to do, let's say you're a 6, there are 1 through 5s who need to know something that you have, and they're not waiting on your perfection. They're waiting on your obedience. That's real love. Is that, man, if I could take someone from a 3 to 4, if they can get to where they're supposed to go sooner, quicker, faster, because they heard me, because they read my book, because they listened to my podcast, because I showed up on Instagram and did a live, whether I had makeup on or not, because the message is not watered down, whether because you don't have lashes on, right? Yeah. Your eyebrows aren't neat, right? That's real love. That's love. Everything else is not operating from a place of love. It's operating from a place of scarcity and fear, definitely not abundance. And it's not real. It's not true. It's not what you're called to do. And so I want us to change that narrative. It's not tough love to show someone who they can become or what they can have when they trust themselves and stop leaning on you. That's real love.
It's so true what you said about raising kids. And I was just saying to my husband earlier today, like, so much of the blessing of my childhood was I was uncomfortable. And I didn't have this false illusion that I would grow up and be comfortable. You know, my dad left and my mom was mentally ill and I was on my own. And there was a blessing in that, as hard as that was. Not that I would wish that on anyone, but I learned, like, I could. And my grandma used to say to me, "My money's on you, Kath. You got this." I'm going to cry. But she was like that. And she used to live a few blocks away. And she'd say, "I know this is hard for you. You deserve to have two parents here, but you don't." But she goes, "My money is on you. You can do anything." Mm. And I felt that in a way, like, that was such a gift. That was such a gift. Not to be confused that mom and dad are going to pay for my college. That never happened. Mom and dad are going to do, no, that's not happening. But what could I do? Mm. What could I actually find inside of me? What I just love about spending time with you is you're just so darn clear that everybody is just sitting on gold. You're just like, come on. All right. You got this. Let's just do this now. Let's just do this thing now. Yeah.
I believe it.
Yeah, I know.
Like, in my belly, like, yeah. I believe it. I call myself a hope restoring coach because I literally, like, I just believe it, Kathy. I believe that everybody has this potential and this ability to walk in purpose. And I believe that when we don't make the pursuit of whatever we're doing solely money, there's such an opportunity to walk with such freedom. Like, when everything is not attached to, well, how much am I going to make? What's the paycheck? What's the profit? But when it's actually from a place of love and just, like, giving freely, like, all that you have in here and up here, like, oh my gosh, I really believe it. I live it. I know it to be true. My heart yearns for more people to get it. And my heart yearns for good people, for light workers, for people who truly are committed to the transformation of others to get it, because the charlatans are loud and proud. And the people who actually have the heart and the right motivation and the right intentions are the ones that clam up. But people who don't give a damn about other people and who are truly, purely in it for the money, oh my gosh, they are like yelling from the mountaintops. And here we are whispering. Here we are ashamed to say who we are and what we do. Here we are like, I don't know. Can I? Should I? Maybe. What will they say? What will they think? Charlatans don't care. They don't care what you think. They're in it to get to the next buck and they're moving on. If more people who had integrity and authenticity and a true heart to help transform the lives of others would freaking stand up and stop playing. Do you know we could change the world?
100%. Overnight. Yeah, I just got this huge like download when you said that, because it's so often that we're feeling this like false humility almost of like, well, I don't want to put my offer out there. I'm gonna all this stuff. And then we say like, it's not about the money, it's about purpose, right? But then we want like an immediate ROI. Like if we're not getting that ROI right away on that money thing, we give up on it. It's like, wait a minute. What if you just kept doing it? You just kept showing up. And I do that. You do that. I think about those of us who have been working in that purpose every single day. How else could I do this? I'm going to start this podcast. I'm going to write this blog. Think of the things that you said. You were in the bathroom bawling your eyes out and you're like, grab the Bible. I'm going to start a blog, right? Put it out there. Who else can I give it? Who else can I help? Who else can I serve? Let's get that going, right? And like slowly moving through that. But there wasn't this like, well, if the money doesn't come in right away, it's like, no, I'm showing up. I'm doing it. I'm going to just walk in this purpose. And then boy, does the money find you. Oh my God. You just can't.
My commitment has always been to an audience of one. So every place that I go, coming on here, Kathy, I think there's 130 people that I can see live, right? If only one person, if 129 people left this call and were like, I wasn't really feeling her. But one person was like, oh my gosh, you did it for me today. Thank you. I'd have been like, okay, I'm good. And when I was first writing my blog, not because I wanted some immediate ROI, but I felt discouraged because my husband and my mom, two people who I just knew would read, were not reading. And I thought, this is silly. What am I doing? I need to go find a real job. Let me make a LinkedIn profile. This was the trail, like the train of my thoughts.
Oh, Lord.
And I quit. And like several weeks later, this man reached out to me and he said, hey, you know, I have been enjoying your blog. I hope you're okay. I noticed you haven't posted in a while. And I was like, who is this strange man, right? He was an angel. Who is this man? How did he find me? I was so not used to the online space and blogging and all those things. I didn't know how to read analytics. I didn't know I was supposed to go in and approve comments. I didn't realize that people had actually been reading, not even 100 people, but less than 100 people, but it was more than my husband and my mom, right? And that's when I decided an audience of one is still an audience. I'm going to serve this man if he's the only person that shows up and reads every week, because at least that's somebody who wants to hear what I have to say. And that was how I actually got recommitted to the blog. And I'll tell you this, to this day, sometimes I wonder if that man never came back, would I be the Patrice Washington that you all know? He saved me. That blog I had been doing every week for like a couple months. And once I realized that even my family wasn't watching, what was the point? And so for those of you who are even discouraged and you're thinking, well, this must not be the gift because my spouse doesn't get it, or my parents don't get it, or people are not getting, they're not your audience. They're just the people who are assigned to you, right? But they're not your audience. Your audience are the people that you go get, like that you put your stuff out there in order for them to find. And here's what I learned. And then Kathy, I swear I'll let you go because I have to go take my daughter to basketball. Listen, here's the thing. When I left the Steve Harvey Show in 2018 to focus fully on the podcast, the number of people who were saying to me, what are you doing? Like, you get millions of listeners from that show. You're on every week. What do you mean? You need to figure out a way to do both. And like, are you being lazy? Why can't you still do the show and do your podcast? And I felt very strongly that I had to stop straddling the fence and that I needed to make a choice and be consistent and be committed with the choice that I made. And I thanked them April 2018 and I walked away. Now, here's the thing. People who found me through the Steve Harvey Show, they stumbled upon me. They did not come for me. They came to laugh in the morning and they happened to get this girl giving some finance or business tips. And okay, they stumbled upon me. The difference is when you go all in on what you're supposed to do, the people who come to me now, they were searching for me. They had prayed for someone like me. They maybe had a sleepless night or cried or, you know, somehow right? But when they find me, they know that I'm their person. There is a difference between people stumbling upon you and people who were searching for you. And the one person who may be searching and you speak to their spirit, they are more valuable than 1,000 people out there who don't really give a damn. So be more committed to the audience of one, to walking in your purpose, to chasing purpose, not money, to showing up consistently, to doing the things, to tuning out the noise, the things that don't serve you for the one. Because that one person who was searching for you, oh my gosh, the fulfillment that you have in your heart from touching them is beyond any of this other stuff. And if you keep doing that, that one multiplies. That one becomes 10, that 10 become 100, 100 become 1,000, 10,000, 100,000, 1,000,000. But if you're looking at this like, oh, I got to do this thing to go impact millions. Okay, every million is comprised of ones. Every million, right, is comprised of ones. I don't focus on 1,000,000. I focus on one. And as a byproduct, you know, the folks who are supposed to come, the folks that are assigned to me, the folks that were searching, they come.
Incredible. I mean, it just the timing, the way God works. This is our last week of the program. We've had all these other bonus, incredible experts, friends of ours, you know them. And this is the perfect message on this week. They walked into this program and I said to all of them, you have been assigned. And hearing this, like, just go do it. Like that person, I love what you just said. Somebody prayed for you. And then there you are. That is speaking to their spirit. So tell us, since you are that person, tell us where we can follow you, the podcast, and buy the book and all the things.
You can find me on patricewashington.com. Here is the book, Redefine Wealth for Yourself, How to Stop Chasing Money and Finally Live Your Life's Purpose. It's full of so many of the goodies that I said today. But truthfully, Kathy, so many other things just came out of my spirit today. I feel like this conversation was so divine. I literally said things today that I've never said in my life. That just came to me.
You're always like this. Whenever I'm with you, this is how it rolls. So I'm happy to be here for it. What a gift. Yeah, if you want this audio, we'll send it to you so you can have it in any way you want it. I love you. I adore you. You are love. Everybody is so excited to just have spent this time with you. Guys, go follow her. Do me a favor right now. Take a screenshot of her face. Put it in your Instagram story. Tag her. You can tag me. I'll reshare a bunch of them. Let people know what this woman does and how she radiates so much goodness. You definitely want to follow her if you haven't already, because every single day she is there to remind you that you are needed and give you the tools to just step into it. So thank you, Patrice. Go have fun with your daughter today. Thank you for being here. God bless you.
Kathy. Bye, guys.
Oh my gosh. How many nuggets did you pick up? How many nuggets did you pick up? I just got pumped all over again listening to this episode. Like, I'd venture to say it's one that you could go ahead and listen to again, because I'm sure you missed something. Listen, make sure that you show Kathy Heller some love each week on the Don't Keep Your Day Job podcast. She has honest conversations with successful creative entrepreneurs about the hands-on practical steps to make a living doing what lights you up and build a life that you can't wait to wake up to every single day. Kathy is such a gem. She's been such a blessing in my life. Again, follow Kathy at Kathy.Heller on Instagram and let her know that you found her on the Redefining Wealth podcast. I have one more remind for you next week, so make sure you come on back. Until next time, I want you to go live your life's purpose, find fulfillment, and earn more without ever chasing money. Talk to you later.
As humans, we're naturally driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. When I was looking to hire someone, it was so slow and overwhelming. I wish I had used Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform, with over 350 million global monthly visitors according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/podcast. That's Indeed.com/podcast. Terms and conditions apply.
Prescription products require completion of an online medication consultation with an independent healthcare provider through the LifeMD platform and are only available if prescribed. Subscription required. Individual results may vary. Additional restrictions apply at LifeMD.com. Read all warnings before using GLP-1s. Side effects may include a risk of thyroid C-cell tumors. Do not use GLP-1s if you or your family have a history of thyroid cancer.
If you've struggled for years to lose weight and have given up hope, did you know you can now access GLP-1 prescription medications through LifeMD? LifeMD is now offering eligible patients online access to GLP-1s, the breakthrough prescription medication that can help you lose body fat and weight. Listen to what people are saying.
You just take your shot. It doesn't feel like you're on a diet. What I wasn't expecting it to do was to shut off the food noise. This was life-altering, and if I can do it, I feel like anybody can do it.
And here's the best part. Your insurance may cover 100% of the cost of your medication. So go to TryLifeMD.com to have your eligibility checked right now. Get started today at TryLifeMD.com. That's TryLifeMD.com.